about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What's your name?
Chester.
Chester, nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Go for it.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
All right, ladies and gents. I'm going to get this thing humming with a few jokes.
Tina, you really know.
No, it's okay. It's okay. I'm a bridesmaid. It's part of my job. All right, joke one. Marriage is a 3-ring circus. Engagement ring, wedding ring, suffer ring. So, that was joke one.
What? That was funny.
No, it wasn't.
Literally, nobody laughed except for you.
My friends, America needs to repent.
Wow. Stuff.
And now.
You are the dregs of a free society. We have to let you exist, but we do not have to listen to you.
Our feature presentation.
Well, that's just hurtful. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Wednesday, the 3rd of May. Ladies.
Good morning, Bean.
I mean, did we leave the cage open again and the monkey got out?
He did.
How does that keep happening?
He's a scooter. He just scoots on out.
We got to put a chip in him or some way to track him down.
No, please.
Yeah, it sounds...
No, not like that, Jeff.
Weird.
How are you, Groucho?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you. Thank you.
When you're out with the eyebrows, do you sense that people are pointing, looking? Do you find yourself being in a lot of photographs that you hadn't planned on because they can't wait to show their friends what your face looks like?
I don't have that high of an opinion of myself that the world centers around me. But yeah, for sure. A little bit.
Because most people haven't seen eyebrows like that before.
No. Only in movies and old-timey movies, mostly, with Groucho Marx. But I will say it's now at that flaking off stage, so I've got that going for me. Oh. So if we're just chatting and all of a sudden skin is just flying, yeah, it's not sexy, Chip. Not, well, maybe to some people. That could be kind of hot. It's Look, awful is all I'm saying. Let me wrap it up with awful.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if there's somebody who loves scabs. Honestly.
Oh.
Because we talk about – stuff comes up all the time. You go – we just did a topic recently about you get turned on by things nobody else is. I bet there's somebody out there who would love nothing more than to be able to pick the scabs off your eyebrows.
Let's be honest. I think all of us enjoy picking a scab every now and then. But picking other people's scabs, that's a whole other level
of weird,
yeah.
Why? What is it that's a – I mean, you know that the reason the scab is there is so that your skin will heal and it will get better faster if you don't pick at it. Why is that so addictive that you can't not at least play with the edges?
I don't know. But
it's weird,
dig it.
Right?
Yeah. Like as a kid, I used to love it if I had a scab on my arm. Like it's almost at the point where I can just lift it right up and do it all again in a few more days.
And the bigger the scab, the bigger the piece you could pull off, the prouder you were.
Put it in a jar. Wait, what? I'm sorry.
Put it on a leash, walk it around the neighborhood.
Take a picture. Scabby.
Put it on a t-shirt. All right, I don't know how we already got into scab talk 1 minute in.
Good morning.
Speaking of weird things on people's bodies, this is an interesting story, I thought. There is a growing trend. This article is from a website called Money-ish. I am unfamiliar with it, but the headline is, millennials are going bald from too much stress.
Oh, no.
They talked to a San Francisco dermatologist and also a New York City hairstylist, and they both say they have seen a tremendous number of young and balding clients. And apparently this is a thing. The suggestion is that it is stress-related. I am wondering if that is true or if it's just like with so many other cosmetic surgeries, people are much more proactive now to go to they're obsessed with their appearance to the point now where – 25 years ago, somebody would be like, well, I have a little less hair than I'd like, but that's life. And now people go, oh, my God, I can't have less hair. There has to be something. Help.
Because I didn't think that stress, I know it can make your hair fall out like hair loss, but it's not permanent. Maybe it can spread, like speed up hereditary hair loss, but I don't think it's permanent.
Really?
I'm almost positive.
What if you are stressed?
Howie is a doctor.
I am a doctor, you guys.
What if you are stressed, though, and never stop being stressed, like it seems like so many people are these days?
Well, sure.
It's temporary unless it doesn't go away.
That's true.
Here's a John, a 28-year-old San Francisco public relations professional, who said he always prided himself on his luscious locks. I always had a thick, full head of hair. I'm of Middle Eastern and Jewish ancestry. It was closely associated with my identity. But as a freshman in college, I discovered I was losing my hair when a friend posted a photo of me on Facebook. Mm. I was kind of stunned. It was really brutal. He noted that he had thinning hair around his temples that gave it away. I just assumed balding was something that magically happened at 45. Here's Mabel, 19. It was a clogged shower drain that alerted her to the problem. She was already stressed by the pressures of college and feeling homesick for her family in Hawaii. She said the hair loss was devastating. Oh, my God, I'm losing my hair. It was crushing, she said. Hair is a very feminine thing. Yes, Muggs.
Yeah, I deal with this every day of my life. I see my hairline go and go and go. And, boy, I can tell you I deal with a lot of stress. I could believe that statement.
But is your father bald?
My father's bald.
Then that's hereditary.
My father's father was bald. My mother's father was bald.
Let me look up the definition of hereditary. And yeah, stop stressing about it because it's just going to happen to you regardless.
But I also have a ton of grays too. So at least some of them are disappearing.
No, not again, there, Chip.
Not sexy.
No,
not sexy.
Down there.
Were you losing your hair at 18, 19, 20 though, Muggs?
No, my hairline started to go back when I was about 24, 23. Mm-hmm.
Is that when you met your wife?
That's about
I believe, yeah.
That is about right.
She digs guys with receding hairlines,
see?
I guess.
See, you win. Right. You win.
I guess so.
See, if you have family, the whole lineage of your family, the males, are bald, stop stressing about it. Because you're not going to reverse it.
But there's there's so much great technology now to reverse it.
Well, let me tell you about this. There is a condition called telogen effluvium, which happens when a significant stress pushes large numbers of hair follicles into the resting phase. And then the hair falls out. There's another one called alopecia areata, in which your immune system attacks the hair follicles, which can be exacerbated by stress. There's also a disorder called trichotillomania, in which stressed out people feel an irresistible urge to pull their hair out. How about that?
Yeah, people do that with their eyelashes.
I've heard about that.
Yeah.
And eyebrows, too.
That's not my problem.
How dare you?
So you are calling, Allie, it sounds like you're calling BS on the stress angle here. You think people...
Yeah, stress isn't making millennials bald.
You don't think so?
No.
Even San Francisco Middle Eastern Jewish guy who always had a full head of hair? You think that just
he needs to do Ancestry.com. Those aren't his parents.
We have news for you. You're adopted, sir.
Here's the thing. I don't find millennials to have more to worry about than I had to worry about. I just don't. So let's stop that myth right there in its tracks.
I wonder about that, though. I think the advent of social media has created so much stress for young people. It's ridiculous and stupid stress, and don't do it because it doesn't matter and it's not important. But I do think that many people of that age group are super wrapped up in their appearance, in the appearance of their life being great. And I think there's a great deal of pressure to kind of live up to how awesome you are on Instagram. No? Possible?
No. Then delete them.
Then don't do it.
It's very simple.
I'm reversing the loss.
You are?
Yeah, I'm going to. And okay. I have ways, so if anybody wants to know how, hit me up.
Final paragraph. John, our 28-year-old from San Francisco, eventually just after trying doctors and propecia and the side effects and everything else, he said, screw it, and shaved his head. He's now completely bald. He says, doesn't have to worry about it anymore.
So, I'm not to that point. I gave up on propecia, but I'm not to that point yet.
You're going to get a transplant, aren't you?
A head transplant.
I need one of those, too.
Let's talk about today's all-new Kevin Beach show, shall we?
I think it's a very big topic, and it's a topic that should be number one, and we should find out what the hell is going on.
Well, we plan to do that. Thank you, Mr. President. Hygiene myths on today's program. Ralph gave us a tease of this, and it sounds fascinating, and I think we've been doing it all wrong.
I guess
we'll find out. Also, tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2017. Give you two chances to win those today. That'll be fun. It is Wednesday. That means the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voices on the program today. We are also going to revisit a topic that I love. ASMR videos are back in a big way. And I did a deep dive yesterday.
You did?
I really did.
Tell me more about this.
There were people whispering, do things. There are people who love them. Is there anything more annoying or irritating than those videos?
Oh, there are people that have headgasms, they call them.
How do people find them relaxing?
I don't know if they find them so much relaxing as...
But I think a lot of people are using it for sleep, no?
I'm sure, because I know that I sleep best after...
Okay, understood. We'll talk about that. Also, a very special guest in the 8 o'clock hour. I read almost all of her book last night, and she is a wonderful writer and seems like a nice lady, and she certainly raised a great kid. David Eric Grohl's mom, Virginia, has written a book about what it's like to be the mother of a big, big rock star, and it is a fascinating read called From Cradle to the Stage. Virginia Grohl will be here in the 8 o'clock hour. Rob's got the Showbiz Beat when we return right after this on K-Rock. 5:52, Wednesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 106.7 KROQ. Good morning, Ralph Garman.
K-Rock Super Games and Brewfest Especial.
Oh, tell me more, Beer Mug. That sounds fun.
Two. You'll see. Hold up your beers if you're drinking. There's a big event going on Saturday. Beer Mug and a Speedo.
I gotta tell you, this is, it was surprising how much people were raving about the first one.
Yeah.
I mean, people really had a great time at that thing.
Yes, because people like to drink and then do goofy things.
Yeah.
And this has all of that.
I love that it surprised you.
It did surprise me because it's not for me.
I can't believe people had fun at this fun thing where fun was programmed into the fun.
I mean, if you saw pictures, it looked amazing.
Yeah, big mechanical bowls and jump bouncy houses and
dunking
obstacle
people.
Courses and beer pong, cornholio.
People just were raving about what a good time it was.
Well, all of those things are fun.
I guess they are. That's
my
conclusion.
No guessing. They're automatically fun.
What I'm saying is it looked like people enjoyed themselves.
It's happening again Saturday, May 6th at the Santa Anita Park infield. And,
bless you.
Excuse me, that came out of nowhere. Just $5 to get in. General admission there in the infield at Santa Anita. $25 if you want the VIP experience. That's what we're giving away this morning. The VIP experience. A 4-pack of VIP passes to the K-Rock Super Games and Brew Fest Special. Here's what you get. Drink tickets. Access to the VIP area, which means your own bar and bathroom area, which is awesome. Santa Anita trucker hat. Come on.
Woo.
Plus, on Saturday, you're going to watch all the horse racing, including the Kentucky Derby. You can watch that simulcast and also wager on. It's going to be good times. Beer Mug's going to be there. Chip, Dave the King of Mexico, DJ Omar Khan, Nicole Alvarez, Lightning. What could be more fun? So if you'd like to go, why don't you give us a call right now? 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. Let's see. Just one winner wins this 4-pack of tickets. So let's say caller number 6 since it's happening on Saturday the 6th. Call right now and have a good time. And you'll be surprised that fun is fun. Hey, forget about your dumb unicorn frappuccino, okay?
All right.
Dummies. That is so last week, whenever it was, everybody here was drinking that. The new thing is the mermaid frap.
Yay!
Right? Right?
No. What?
It's purple and green. It's the mermaid frap.
No.
It's a vanilla bean frappuccino base with blended blackberries and matcha powder.
Allie sounds like she's in.
No.
Well, then how about the dragon frappuccino?
How about a freaking coffee, you a-holes?
Or the Pokemon Go frap. Right?
Where other people can get it. They just beep on their phone and then it disappears.
It looks fabulous.
Do we need this?
No, we don't need this. We need a drone strike.
What I like about Starbucks coffee is I like the vanilla burst.
Okay.
We need to hunt down these people via their Instagram and just take them out with a blow dart.
Why are you bad, America?
Why are you bad, America? Speaking of bad, you know Liam Payne from One Direction?
Yeah. Sure.
He has got a lovely and talented baby mama named Cheryl Cole.
Mm-hmm.
She is really a stunning British.
She was Girls Aloud, right, was her band?
Yes, and she was on the X Factor as a judge for many seasons. They've got a kid together, and they've finally given their newborn son a name.
Uh-oh.
Bear. Bear Payne.
Payne is a tough last name for any first name to match up with, but Bear.
Bear. Bear Payne.
I have a friend named Bear.
Well, he's a dummy.
But he has the little two dots over the A.
Oh, my God. How do you not beat him all the time with a snow shovel?
Where does he live in Silver Lake?
He's from Humboldt County. He can't help it.
He's Bear with two dots over the A.
Yeah.
What's that called? An umlaut?
Umlaut. Yeah. Yeah.
Bear with an umlaut.
Yeah.
Huh. F him.
It's his parents.
I don't care. I hope he dies.
Okay.
I bet he loves unicorn frappuccinos. I'll just bet
mermaid
that.
Mermaid fraps, right? Bear with an umlaut, just when it couldn't get any worse.
Why is Bear a name?
It's not a name. It's an animal.
Weird choice.
Do you think they're punking people? Like, everybody wanted to know the name, so they just threw out Bear.
No, I'm sure.
It's really Bear.
That's the name.
Ugh. I know Jimmy Kimmel has received a lot of praise this week, but let's also add on. He named his kids Jane and William.
Right. Yes.
God bless you, the Kimmels.
Bill. Billy.
Billy.
Billy Kimmel.
Yeah. Oh,
people. There are people with people names.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Bear and Fruit Tart and Jambalaya.
God, oh, how cool of a name would Jambalaya be?
I will drown you.
You'd be like, hey, what's up? I'm Jammy. That's nice. You're a liar if you don't agree.
Because Jambalaya?
I got a lot of coffee.
I want you.
Why did you do finger guns just now?
Hey, don't forget tomorrow's Star Wars Day, everybody. May the 4th be with you.
Yeah.
Right?
And I want to give you a heads up. If you're interested, TBS is running an all-day marathon of the original six George Lucas-produced movies beginning at 6:40 a.m. tomorrow. So take the day off.
Star Wars? Yeah, I remember.
Right. Take the day off and just sit at home and watch TBS, and you can watch all the movies. The first six, at least. Why don't you just go to work and then come home and watch the three good ones?
There you go.
That's a better
plan. Save yourself some time.
And some money. Today's celebrity birthdays. Greg Gumbel is 71 years old today. Sportscaster Greg Gumbel. Bobby Cannavale, very talented actor. He is 47. Saw him on Broadway. Glenn Ross. Boy, is he a talented guy. Dulé Hill, 42 years old, from West Wing, of course, and Psych.
Ballers,
right? Rapper designer, who gave us the Panda song, right?
Yes.
I mean,
he should name his kid Bear.
Panda?
Panda, right. Panda.
Is 20 years old today. And Christina Hendricks.
Yay!
We love her so much. Of course, she was on Mad Men. Have you seen a new commercial?
For Kia?
She's just walking down the street.
Mm-hmm.
And guys are like, here, take my car. Literally, here are the keys. Just take it. Just, you can have my car. She's like, nope. I'm an independent woman. I've got a Kia. I don't need you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boy, that dress she's wearing is screaming.
All right.
Screaming for help. She's just... my seams are splitting.
All right. No, it fits perfect. It's great.
It's really just screaming.
It really does fit perfectly, Allie. You're right about that.
Perfect, yeah.
Because it's just great, little too
great
tight.
Girl.
Just
great girl. So much more than her body.
Shows off
so funny and kind and charming.
Well, that's what the Kia commercial's built around. It's built around her charm.
Yes, they want her in the car.
Because she's so witty. Because of all those things she says in the Kia spot.
She's lovely.
She's just walking down the street looking hot. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as beat.
Dave Grohl's mom on the show today. Also, it's Wednesday. That means the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices and What's Up with Hobby Horsing. That's all coming up on today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock. I apologize that I'm about to bring this up again, but I about once a year, once every other year, I become fascinated all over again with a portion of the internet that is dedicated to ASMR videos. This is people who whisper, and it's very quiet and very still.
Already creeped out.
It's intensely creepy, and I don't understand. One of the channels that I will play an audio from a video from in a second here has over 10 million views.
Wow.
What's the appeal of using the internet to watch people whisper? Help me.
From what I understand, there's a certain section of the population that it's almost like this this sensory overload that you get from it. You get like goosebumps and this kind of tingling sensation. There's something in the voice that hits you in a different way than most people.
So I would love to hear from listeners to this show that also enjoy the ASMR videos. I'd love to hear from you how you're using this at 1-800-520-1067. And it's interesting you say that, Ali, that they get a sensory overload, because my guess would have been the opposite, that the rest of the world creates so much noise that this is their quiet corner of the internet to get away from all of that.
Right.
But, well, let's hear a little bit of it. In case you're wondering what ASMR is all about and what it stands for, this first clip is from a YouTube channel called Gentle Whispering, who has almost a million subscribers. And this is a good introduction clip to what this is all about.
Hello, my name is Maria, and I'm here to tell you about ASMR. Autonomous Sensory Meridian Response. It's a pleasant, tingling feeling that you experience when you hear unique, soft voices or hear certain soothing sounds.
Okay, that's the other thing. Not only voices, but sounds, like she's doing right now, like tapping.
Or both.
And by the way, in the ASMR world, and I watched a lot of videos yesterday, she's screaming. That woman needs to tone it down.
Really?
Yeah, compared to a lot of them. All right, here's the guy with the 10 million views. Now, this video is 10 hours long.
Oh, my.
Okay, so
that's
you would
a lot of tingles.
You would put this on for a party, I guess. And he doesn't say a word, but he taps various things. And he crinkles paper, and he rubs his fingertips against various fabrics. This is a thing that people are into. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you move if that sound were in your apartment?
I don't hate it.
Really? This wouldn't drive you insane?
No.
All right, well, I know where you can get 10 hours of that if you love tapping. Let's get Emily on the line. She's in L.A. Line 1 up on the Kevin DeBean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Emily, you're the first person to call through who's into the ASMR. How are you using this?
So I get a lot of migraines. I had really bad headaches. So what I do is
Hey,
when
Emily,
I
use this, Emily, yes. Don't scream. Bring it down.
Sorry.
Bring it down. Okay, go ahead.
So I get really bad migraines and really bad headaches. So I use them to relax me. And I have bad trouble sleeping. Mm-hmm. So I watch these videos to help me go to sleep. And I don't know what it is about it, but it relaxes me, it soothes me, and that's what helps me.
That's so interesting to me, because my reaction when I hear somebody whispering or speaking what seems like too softly is to perk up my ears, to lean in and try to follow what it is they're saying. It's the opposite of relaxing for me. How long do you put one of these things on before you fall asleep?
As soon as I'm ready for bed, I lay down, I put it on, and sometimes there's whispering, and there's also some videos where they just play with things, like they'll play with marbles or they'll play with a makeup bag. It's the sounds of it. It's just relaxing.
How about that? All right, so it's working for Emily. All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Speaking of that, here's a video of a lady who is blowing up and then rubbing balloons together. And this takes a lot longer than you might think it was, but I guess you're not in any kind of hurry if you're putting an ASMR video together. I guess the longer the better, right?
Welcome back to my channel. So today I thought it'd be cool to do some balloon sounds. So that's what we're going to be doing. I have this huge pack of 72 balloons.
Now she's rubbing the balloons. Isn't as sexy as you might want it to be.
No.
Okay. So.
Now she's going to blow up some. Sorry. She's going to blow up some balloons. And by the way, a lot of these ASMR video hosts are attractive ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that there is a subset of people who are turned on by this?
Oh, absolutely.
You think maybe that's what's going on? You're just watching pretty people kind of cooing at you, and you can imagine that it's a romantic situation, perhaps?
I never say cooing again, but I think that's probably part of it, yeah.
All right.
But I feel like ASMR, people listen to it, and they get a tingling sensation, like a staticky feeling. Like, it's euphoric to a section of the population. I don't think we've talked to anyone like that yet.
Let's see if that's why Ryan's calling. He's in the Inland Empire. He's up next. Line one. Hey, Ryan. Thanks for calling. What's your experience with the ASMR videos?
So, specifically with students with special needs, students on the autism spectrum or with Tourette's or with bipolar disorder or schizophrenic, sometimes these videos can help calm them down. They're very, very sensory connected. These tapes actually go back decades. They used to be on cassette tapes. People used to listen to them back in, you know, mental institutions. And it's actually a long history, 30 or 40 years old, of that type of sensory overload.
How about that? But they've just become accessible easily to anybody with an internet connection. Allie is wondering if some people are kind of, what did you say, not turned on, but they
stimulation. Like, yeah, the staticky feeling. It's like this tingly, staticky sensation.
You know, there's a large amount of the population where certain senses are connected to our libido. And especially as the kids hit puberty and they get older, I'm almost positive that some of them are definitely connected in a positive way. Definitely. I can fully support you there.
And you work in school administration, and this is something, this is therapy, basically, for some kids, as you said, that helps them.
Therapy. Sometimes they put it on just to when they're taking a test or when they're doing some kind of online survey, and, you know, it really helps calm down. It's a huge thing. And now that it's free, we don't have to buy, you know, $800 sets.
Yeah, of course.
Anymore.
Interesting.
All right. Well, keep up the good work, Ryan. Thank you so much for listening and for calling. All right, let's do one more. And there's so much role-playing. Oh, let's talk to Kelly real quick before we hear this last clip, because she does get tingly, Allie. This may be who you were looking for. Kelly's in Riverside, line three. Hey, Kelly.
Yes?
So you turn on the radio this morning, and all of a sudden it gets all tingly up in there for you, right?
Not up in there. Jeez.
No.
Oh.
And it's not the whispering. Like, I watch, like, people pet a puppy or play with somebody's hair or something like that, and it just makes you relaxed and, like, tingly.
Okay. Relaxing and tingly sound like they would be at odds with one another.
No, well, it's a relaxing tingle.
It's a relaxing tingle. All right, we cleared that up. Thank you, Kelly. I'm glad we had you on. All right, role-playing seems to be a very big deal with a lot of the videos, too. Not unlike porn, by the way. There are ASMR videos where the girl is, in this video, pretending to be your bank loan officer.
Okay.
In this video, she's pretending to be your hairdresser. And they treat you as if you're in the room with them, and they're like, here's one example. This is a girl who's treating you like you're a chia pet.
Watering you?
Yes, she is watering you. And this video, and she builds the whole chia pet, and she's talking to you as if you're the chia pet being built and being growing and being watered, and she's just covered you with cellophane. In this clip on the video, she's ripping the cellophane off, and she's talking about how much you've grown overnight after she watered you. So you are the chia pet here. So please enjoy.
Okay, let me look at you.
Taking the plastic off.
Good, chia. Chia.
Chia
sprouts coming.
Oh, you get your sprouts coming in?
Oh, fantastic.
Just rubbing your chia head.
How many hours did you spend on this?
It's going really good up there. You had some good little seeds.
Got some
okay.
Good little
seeds. This is... Come on.
You're almost ready.
Yeah, I'm almost ready. I am almost done. I am almost done. It's an all-skate song right there, huh?
Yeah.
6:38 on the Kevin and Bean Show, Wednesday morning. Wheel O coming up. Dave Grohl's mom as well, and your tickets for the Weenie Roast all on the way on K-Rock. Ralph, you teased us a little bit with this article that you found.
Yes.
And I'm fascinated to hear more.
Listen, hygiene is not just a way to say hello to the bass player for Kiss, okay?
Oh, Ralph.
People, let's pay attention
Ralph.
Now, all right? Let's
come on.
Let's heads up here.
How
I need that
are
on a
we
t-shirt now.
This?
Hygiene. I like to do a little research in the other room on hygiene, and then I take the articles and I print them out and I leave them on Beer Mug's desk.
Oh, jeez.
It's not sticking, by the way.
I was going through the news yesterday, and I came across this article. I thought it was pretty interesting. It was 8 ideas we have about hygiene that are totally bogus.
Oh, no.
Yes. So I thought we would go through all 8 of them. We play a little game called Hygiene Fact or Fiction, where I give you a topic, and then we'll discuss what you think you know versus what is true.
Okay.
Well, I feel like if the headline is the 8 are totally bogus, I feel like we know that they're all fiction.
Well, I'm not gonna position them in that way. I will present them in a way that will leave it open as to whatever your response will be.
I thought I figured the game out. All
because
right.
I'm not a dope. So I'm going to try to make it more interesting than that. Here we go. How often do you need to shower? How often do you need to shower?
Need to versus do. Shower.
How often do you need to shower versus do?
Probably need to every 3 days versus maybe twice a day.
Bean, what do you think?
What's the necessity for
proper hygiene?
I agree completely with Allie. That's exactly what I would say is 3 days would be what you need, but I think most of us are more comfortable much more frequently.
Experts agree showering every day is completely unnecessary. You don't need to shower every day.
Those are stupid.
But you should. You guys are right. People.
Every 3 days or so.
Yes.
Is fine. They say because of the concentration of microbes on your body, every 3 days or so should keep you from stinking and also keep you clean enough that you won't get skin irritations, et cetera, et cetera.
I don't understand the people who can skip a day showering. I don't get it. I don't know how that doesn't feel icky.
Yeah. I don't like it.
And I'm a guy who goes out of his way to never sweat. This is from a guy who never sweats.
If you aren't sweating profusely or getting really dirty, you don't need to shower. It's better for your skin if you're not stripping it of moisture because you can dry out your skin if you shower too much.
All right. Well, we're 1-for-1 so far.
Yeah, you guys know what you're doing. Okay. What do you need to protect yourself in a public toilet vis-a-vis the toilet seat? What do you do?
I need a penis. That way I'm not touching the toilet seat.
Let's say you don't have a penis,
Allie.
All
right.
Just for argument's sake, let's say you don't have a penis. What?
Although that is fantasy.
What steps do you take to protect yourself while using a public toilet seat?
Paper down on the toilet.
Okay.
A cover.
Yes. Bean, if you need to sit on the seat. Let's pretend you don't have a vagina.
Okay, all right.
How do you protect yourself when you sit down to pee?
Yes, I absolutely insist on the paper toilet seat cover. Absolutely. Yes.
Pointless.
Oh, no.
Pointless.
No, come on.
The paper ring on the toilet seat is pointless.
It doesn't help protect you from whatever the last guy left behind?
Not only that, but it's completely unnecessary.
Microbiologist
Jason Tetra says toilet seats are often coated with germs, but so is your toilet seat at home.
But and they're my germs at home.
They pose no threat
to the skin.
Sitting on a public toilet seat will cause you no harm as long as you don't have any open cuts or sores on your ass.
Bean does.
Right. That's Bean's problem. He's got the leprosy of the ass.
All right. Now, Ralph, I know that
as long as you don't lick them... You'll be fine, he jokes, the microbiologist.
If
you don't lick the toilet seat, you'll be fine. It's your ass. Just sit on the seat. You don't need to put on your bogus paper.
Do you agree with that, Ralph?
I never use those dumb rings.
Really?
Well, then just sit down.
If I'm going in after you, then I want to put down paper.
Well, you know what? I'm not pooping all over the seat.
You don't know. There's no germs on my ass.
And, by the way, it's where poop comes out. What am I protecting? What area is so special down there that I need to protect?
What if you get, like, accidental, like, touchage on the rim of the seat?
What are you picking up from the seats?
But, some other person's... Nah, I don't know. That's the point. You don't know.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for contributing, Beer Mug. As long as you don't have any cuts, sores, or open wounds, there's no way for those germs to bother you.
By the way, man. I love that Muggs came in. He's so high today, Ralph. I don't know if you've noticed.
He came in to say, what if there's things?
But you don't even use a gasket?
You're not adding to the conversation.
You don't even use a gasket.
No.
We'll see you later.
I just do my business and go about my day. And this microbiologist says, I'm the smart one.
That's all I heard.
Oh, it also says here, get the hell out of the studio, that he says.
The doctor said that?
Yes.
Oh.
Hot tubs. Safe, not safe. When you go to a resort, you go to a hotel, the hot tub, is it a cesspool of germs?
I feel that it is, but I also feel like they probably put enough chlorine in there to get rid of it. But no, I always heard also that you can't get pregnant in a hot tub. So I don't know what to believe anymore.
Bean? You don't strike me as a jacuzzi fan.
Oh my God, I hate hotels.
I don't see Gene kicking back with a pina colada right? in the jacuzzi,
belly full of ham
at his hotel. I don't see that happening.
I'm of two minds on this one. I want to believe that the water is hot enough to kill any germs that could cause mm-hmm. you trouble, but I'm not going to take that risk. So I would just look at it as a cesspool and stay out.
It is not a cesspool. The microbiologist says that all recreational water areas contain some bacteria, but mostly are the harmless environmental varieties.
So even if 500 people have been in that hot tub this weekend, you can jump in there and you're not likely to get anything from any of them.
As long as the hot tub is cleaned on a semi-regular basis, you should be fine to take a good soak, he says.
Okay.
You know, some bacteria can be dangerous if it's extraordinary, like MRSA or E. coli or Legionella. But other than that, you should be fine.
All right. We missed that one then.
Okay. Antibacterial products for household cleaning. Yes or no? Pro or con?
I am a con. I say no because I don't think they're doing much.
Al, you're absolutely right. Not only that, but they often contain something called triclosan.
Right. Who wants that?
Which isn't very particularly effective at killing bacteria and may be an environmental toxin.
See?
So what you're saying is we're doing it wrong.
Hydrogen peroxide. Environmentally friendly solution and works just as well, they say.
Huh. And so much cheaper, I'm sure.
Exactly. Same with hand sanitizer, by the way. Most hand sanitizers, he says, owns about 60% alcohol. They work pretty well. But the best way to clean your hands, still good old hot water and soap.
Huh.
How about that?
I am stunned by that. Is it just marketing that has made us believe that you have to use antibacterial on your hands to get them actually clean?
Largely, yes. You all right? Everybody okay?
I mean, I just rocked your world. That news.
I'm just stunned. That's yes. All. All right, we got time for one more.
One more? I got more than one more.
I know, but look at the time. Well, the mean man's coming in with the showbiz beat next. He doesn't like
awful.
To be kept late.
You're awful, awful. Okay, well, let's jump right down to the end. How often should you change your bed sheets?
I do at least once a week because there's nothing better than warm, downy, fresh, diving into those bed sheets. Who's with me?
Clean sheet night is pretty strong. I think I'm the exception on this one because nothing ever happens to get my sheets dirty.
So
I'd probably go about every 2 weeks, probably. Every 2 weeks changing them.
Allie's the most hygienic amongst us. Every week they recommend.
Yeah.
Because you are shedding millions of germs that grow with sweat, oil, dirt, and other organic chemicals. And you should do it weekly with hot water to make sure that you kill all that bad stuff. Because you get dust mites that feed off the bacteria, et cetera, et cetera. And so you should change your sheets weekly, they say. Now, here's the interesting thing. Here's the survey that I thought was interesting from a mattress company. We'll go with women first. Women, single women, usually own 3 sets of sheets and change their linen every 2 to 3 weeks. They should change it more often. Mm-hmm. Single men between the age of 18 and 55 mm-hmm. own 1 set of sheets and change their sheets, according to the survey, 4 times a year.
Oh my God.
So every 3 months is the average for single men 18 to 55.
Oh, God. So, what have I been laying on?
That's a question you should ask yourself every morning, Allie.
I know we're throwing open the phones right now for Kevin Bean's What's Good on any topic. Questions, comments, complaints, 1-800-520-1067. But I'm concerned with the guy we have answering the calls today, Ralph.
Yeah.
He is.
Stony Burke is not our band. He's not our helper.
How is he so high?
I had a lozenge last night.
That's what he said.
Seems to be hanging on.
How do you get high from a lozenge?
Well, Bean, it's a pot. It's an edible.
It's not a Sucrette.
Yeah, it's not a. It's not a Ricola.
But God's sakes!
Did you not know?
It's a THC candy.
But wasn't that like 10 hours ago, though?
But edibles react differently. They last longer.
All right.
Awesome.
I thought Muggs was
like a professional. You're like explaining pot to my dad.
Holy
Jesus.
I just felt like he was.
He not know stuff.
I thought he would have slept that off by now. Anyway, Mug, look, you don't always get the phone screener you need. You get the phone screener you have, right? And it's Muggs today. So 1-800-520-1067. We don't get a chance to do this very often, but this is your opportunity to be a part of the Kevin and Bean Show. If you got something you want to talk to us about, as I mentioned, you got a question, you got a comment, you got a complaint, we're wide open for you. Give us a call right now. We'll take your calls right after Ralph's Showbiz Beat here on K-Rock.
Allie, have you entered the Star Wars Omaze?
The one about a month ago?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it's your last chance. I'm going to give people a heads up. Of course, you know tomorrow is May the 4th. Be with you. And so they're raising money for some good charities over there at omaze.com, UNICEF and the Starlight Children's Foundation, with a Star Wars past, present, and future campaign. You can enter into the drawing. It's kind of a lottery for charity where you can stay at the Skywalker Inn and get a tour of the Skywalker Ranch and the archives and a screening of Star Wars and New Hope if you win that prize. The present one is you get to join the cast and attend the Star Wars Last Jedi premiere and exclusive after party. The future prize is you get to visit the set and meet the directors and have a chance to appear in the Han Solo movie.
Yes.
The grand prize is you get to do all three of those. The past, present, and future prizes, you get all of them. That's four different ways you can win. Or the bonus one. And I would forego all the other ones for this one.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Lunch with Mark Hamill.
Oh, my God.
And then a pre-screening of The Last Jedi. You get to watch the movie with him.
Holy okay. crap.
Right? Right?
Okay.
That's the one. Anyway, go to Omaze, omaze.com/Star Wars, and they'll tell you how you can enter into these various charity lotteries for these prizes. If you're a Star Wars fan, it's pretty cool. So I wanted to give you a heads up. Speaking of movies, the Dark Tower trailer has just dropped. Have you seen this?
This is Idris Elba?
Oh, sweet Jesus. Oh, Lord in heaven. Idris Elba, indeed, as the leading man in an action thriller that we've all wanted for so very long. It just dropped this morning, the Dark Tower trailer, and it's got Idris Elba as the gunslinger, and then Matthew McConaughey as the man in black, who he's warring against.
Okay.
Boy, this looks amazing. It's coming out this summer, but the trailer is now available. You can go to thedarktowertrailer.com. Check it out for yourself. But the basic premise is, if you're not familiar with the Stephen King novels, they come to life in this movie. It is, the basic premise is there's this dark tower that basically keeps the universe intact. And there's a kid who crosses over into this other world because he recognizes that something is going wrong. And there are these two men in battle, Matthew McConaughey's character and Idris Elba's. And they have to keep Matthew McConaughey from toppling that dark tower, or else our world will crumble, as will Idris Elba's. So it just looks awesome. They've really translated the books remarkably, and a lot of people have been waiting for this trailer. So I wanted to let you know it's out there, the Dark Tower trailer, if you want to check it out this morning.
You must see that movie.
Yes.
It is really something. I mean, it's like sceneries and the sets and the camera angles and everything is just
camera
amazing.
Camera angles. Camera angles are good, Rodney.
You can get that on Hulu. Or,
it's not on Hulu.
Yeah.
Find it on DVD or
something.
It's coming out this summer.
Or something.
Yeah.
You can find it.
Hey, well, it's going to be in theaters, but not yet.
I want a good movie.
It's coming, Kevin. Jeez. Relax.
What movie?
The Dark Tower, Jerry.
How much was cut out of the movie, or was everything kept in?
No, not everything was kept in, because then the movie would be 8 hours long, Muggs. That's just a dumb question. You have to cut some things out of a movie when you make one, okay? Today's celebrity birthdays. Greg Gumbel, 71 years old today. Actor Bobby Cannavale celebrates his 47th birthday. Dule Hill is 42. Christina Hendricks. Just letting it sink in. I love her. She's 42 years old today. And designer! Designer! The Panda Song guy!
Panda, 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 panda.
Right?
Right.
He's 20 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Coming up in minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show, Allie is going to introduce us to, apparently, it's the rage in Finland, and it's called hobby horsing.
I can't wait till it
And I think we
here.
Need to get it going here, it sounds like. So hobby horsing coming up. Just after 8 a.m., your chance for Weenie Roast tickets for the sold-out show on May 20th. And then Dave Grohl's mom, Virginia, will be here talking about what it's like to raise Dave Grohl and her new book, From Cradle to Stage. It's going to be a lot of fun today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. 1-800-520-1067. Right now, it's time for your calls. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
What's good?
What's good?
That's
had a good batch of calls here. Brandon, you hang on for sure. We want to get to you. Dan as well. Desmond. But first, let's start with Lou. He's on line 5. He's in East L.A., and he's up first on the Kevin and Bean Show. Lou, thanks for calling. Thanks for holding on. What's good, my friend?
Good morning, guys. Hey, I have a little complaint. When you're driving, you glance over to the car next to you, and you see a pair of dirty feet hanging out the passenger window.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
Okay, all right.
And the capper is, they're wearing black nail polish.
I knew it. Now, I literally said when I saw his name, like, this is the freak that always calls about black nail polish. Lou, what's going on with the black nail polish?
I just wanted to get you guys to laugh, that's all.
Lou, but do you have an issue with black nail polish?
It's not Halloween.
Okay, but why do you care? Yes. Why do you care what color somebody paints her toes if she enjoys it?
I really don't care as long as I get you guys to laugh. That's the point.
Oh, this is performance art that Lou is doing.
We appreciate it.
All right, so you do. So then you love it when people hang their feet out a window, right? You're just clowning.
No.
Oh, no. See, there is something serious buried in there.
You can't just lean lean the seat back and stretch out your legs. No, you got to hang them out the window.
Why does it bother you, do you suppose? It doesn't affect you in any way. They're comfortable. They're in their car. How does it affect you?
It doesn't affect me. It just doesn't look right.
Well, if it doesn't look right, nobody should be allowed to do it, Lou.
Agreed.
Thank you for
Get
the call.
Get rid of your feet.
Appreciate that. Let's try Brandon. He's in Moreno Valley. He may or may not be wearing black nail polish on his feet. Hey, Brandon, what's going on? What's good?
Hey, guys. So my fiance has been pretty much bugging me to get her a piglet because having kids is out of the question now. Mm-hmm. Actually, last night on Twitter, Allie almost convinced me, but I just had some second thoughts and I wanted to know what you guys have to say about it. Getting a piglet, big responsibility, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, I wound up tweeting a picture of Bean's pig party that he had, and I feel like Brandon's girlfriend found that picture, and that opened a whole new door. Oh, Bean is the pig person. Bean, take it away.
Look, the answer to your question would be the same as if you were asking me about getting a dog or getting a cat. Do you have the time and the ability to properly take care of a pet? I mean, not everybody should have a pet. If you get up and leave for work in the morning, you're gone all day and come back 9 hours later, no, you shouldn't have a pet.
Right, right. No, I think she would be the one at home with the pig most times.
I mean, I've had a lot of pigs over the years, and here's what I'll tell you. They're beautiful and smart and fun and affectionate, and it's just like having a dog. Really? So if you think you can handle the dog, you can handle the pig.
That makes me feel a lot better about getting a pig now. All right,
but do some research beyond this call because it's a big responsibility. Nobody should just get a pet on a whim or get a pet because they think as a baby they're cute. It's a responsibility that can last 20 years. So take it very seriously if you ever decide to get a pet. And let me know what happens. All right, Brandon?
All right, we'll do.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Dan Pico Rivera, line 1, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show for What's Good. Hey, Dan, thanks for calling.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I, upon your advice, I saw the LA92 documentary on Nat Geo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was on last Sunday night, right?
Yes, it blew me away. It was so well done. It was so – my jaw just fell, and I was aghast. It was so well done and so frightening at the same time.
How old are you, Dan?
I'm 36.
So you were a little too young to appreciate the magnitude of that event when it happened 25 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I was 11 years old, and all I remember really as a kid is the first time I'd heard the emergency broadcast signal used in real life.
Right. Hmm. And Allie, you were saying you thought after you watched it, because we had the filmmakers in, that you realized how young you were and how much you missed at the time, too, right?
And how little I knew about it. And just the parallels to all the stuff they showed from the 1965 Watts riots and how similar things were and how things never really changed.
I completely agree, Allie. In fact, they interviewed one guy in 65, and I think his quote was, I don't think it's ever going to stop. It may not be like this, but it's never going to end.
Yeah.
I tell you what's frightening, though, and if you've noticed in the news the last couple of years with the Black Lives Matter, with all the protests over Ferguson and places like that, where the police have shot unarmed black men. There was another one yesterday. You feel like we're priming the pump for another riot just like that. God forbid. I hope that never happens. I hope we have other ways to discuss it. But it does seem like, I mean, like Ali mentioned, you see Watts and then you see LA 92 and you realize it is cyclical and people do get to a boiling point where they feel like they don't have any other options to be heard. And it is terrifying, and I'm glad you saw it, and I think everybody should see it.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Thank you for the call, Dan.
I'm a history teacher, by the way, and so this is really more frightening.
Oh, good for you. All right, man. Thank you for the service that you provide to our kids. Let's do one more. Let's make it Romero. He's L.A. Line 6, our final call on Kevin Bean's What's Good. Romero, what's good?
Hey, I just want to say thank you to Winnie Rose. I graduated from Dominguez Hills last year, but I'm finally walking the stage. But because of Winnie Rose, we're combining two commencements in one day on a Friday afternoon.
You don't think it's because Winnie Rose, though, do you?
Because usually, I'm pretty sure, because Dominguez Hills holds...
Yeah, I graduated from Dominguez Hills, too.
Yeah, they hold their commencement inside the StubHub Center.
That's where your ceremony was going to be, so they moved everything to Friday so that we can have it on Saturday.
Yeah, because usually they have it Friday and Saturday at the StubHub, and we were just informed that, hey, we're going to commence two ceremonies into one.
Oh, all right.
And now that's as possible.
So congrats on a super long graduation. Sorry about that.
Boy, is your ass going to hurt. Thanks, Romero. This has been What's Good.
What's Good?
Going to come out and say it. He's my favorite musician in the world, Jack White, right there with White Stripes on K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. It's Kevin Bean Show for a Wednesday morning. Wednesday means the Wheel O' Bad Animal Voice is coming up in about 15 minutes here on K-Rock. Then we got your free Weenie Roast tickets at 8, and Dave Grohl's mom comes in right after that. I like to say that's a pretty good show, Allie.
It's a great show.
Although, I'm concerned that you want to introduce me to something called hobby horsing, because it sounds like the type of thing that would get me arrested in most states. Is hobby horsing something that's legal?
It does sound like a bizarre sexual move. It is not. It is actually kind of the opposite of that. It's wholesome. It's beautiful. It's a way for girls to kind of bond, promotes art, friendship, that type of thing.
Okay.
Right? Hobby horsing. Let me give you the definition of hobby horsing, because I looked at a ton of videos yesterday and they're all in Finnish. I don't speak Finnish. I'd love to. But by the way, we tweeted out an article with a bunch of videos at Kevin and Bean on Twitter and at Kevin and Bean on Facebook. You're going to want to watch this because it's fascinating. Here's what hobby horsing is. It's a sport which mimics traditional equestrian events such as show jumping and dressage. So you're like, okay, you're
this
on a horse. You're
girls on horses. Okay,
sure.
Gotcha.
But rather than actually riding a horse, competitors straddle a horse head on a long stick. So you know those stick horses that you jump around with as a kid and you're like, oh,
yeah.
I'm on a horse. This is that, but they're going over horse jumping.
Wait,
they're making the horse dance. They're building their horse head with little sticky eyes and ribbons.
Hobby horsing, isn't that something you grow out of about the time you learn to ride a bike?
This is all about teens and tweens in Finland. I mean, they have competitions. It's incredible. But let me let you listen to a young Finnish girl who's going to tell you about hobby horsing firsthand.
It's very bizarre to other people to see, like, for the first time, especially, to see this kind of stuff. Because they think that we think the horse is alive, which we do not. We understand that it's dead, made of fabric and that, all that.
So what is your message to these kind of people? What do you say?
Just be open-minded.
Just be open-minded, Bean. They know that the horse is dead. Wait, what?
Why did they have to kill a horse?
It got real dark.
It did. Hey, where is she? Is she at some sort of... It sounds like the Olympics going on behind her.
Thank you for asking. At the end of April, there was a huge hobby horsing competition with over 200 hobby horse athletes. Yeah, you heard me.
Hold
athletes.
On a second. What's the competition? To see how fast you can run with a fake horse between your legs?
It's timed. It's the same thing as an equestrian event. Do they make it over the jumps? How do they look when they're doing it? That type of thing. It's a phenomena.
It's Casey, Finger on the Button Girl, says this sounds like the college kids that you see playing Quidditch.
Yeah, but
where
those,
they're running around with a broomstick.
Those kids are nerds.
Right, but how about your little hobby horses
totally
in Finland?
Kidding. I'm totally kidding. Well, let me just play for you what the best thing is about hobby horse.
The best thing about hobby horsing is, I think, the community, especially the community, and also the limitless imagination you can use. Like, there's only the sky is the limit, I think.
The sky is the limit. It's unlimited possibilities for these young girls. Here's my favorite thing in an article that I found, that hobby horsing helped this young girl navigate her parents' divorce, bullying at school, and other personal issues. Quote, it has helped me a great deal that I can occasionally just go galloping into the woods.
Okay. Let's all say what we're thinking, which is the best thing about hobby horsing is where the stick hits the girl.
Oh, my God.
That's what's going on here.
No!
They're jumping up and down on a baseball bat, basically, rubbing up against as they run around.
These are young girls, tweens.
You said, and teens, you said. I'm saying the 18-plus ones. That's what's going on here.
There are no 18-plus doing this, Bean.
Do you think they outgrow it by then?
It so gross.
No, but what do you think is going on?
You made it gross.
But they're running around with a hobby horse between them. I'm not the one doing it.
Let me just tell you, Bean, you're missing something huge here. Hobby horse is a sport.
It's a sport like any other sport, like, examples, swimming, rollerblading, football.
It's just like...
It really is just like football. I didn't realize how many similarities there were.
So here's the thing. I'm doing my hobby horse research, and I'm finding articles saying, get to know Finland's new feminist sports craze.
Mm-hmm.
Feminist sports craze? Okay, but this girl is going to break it down for us.
I think hobby horsing has a feministic agenda, at least in some points, since I think this is the girl thing mostly, because this is where girls can be kind of free. There's no boys like coming and saying what they need to do or like bossing around. So I think there's some kind of point.
Feminist at all, really.
And did someone get knifed there at the end?
Yeah, that's actually part of the competition. Don't get shipped.
It does sound like there's a blood feud going on among hobby horsers.
Listen, maybe hobby horsing isn't for you, but it is for a lot of girls. And let's be honest, if they're jumping around, they're exercising, they're getting out there,
good.
They're making friends, it's a community, what could go wrong?
What could go wrong indeed? Brother JD, your thoughts?
Let me tell you what. That's legendary, my boy.
All right. He's in. Thank you, Ali. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KRQ. We are LA and OC's alternative rock.
Wow!
Hey, tomorrow's Thursday. That means Jim Rome will be on the program. Friday, Al Madrigal will be here. The very funny Al Madrigal will be here as part of our Cinco de Mayo show. Ben McKenzie, Ralph, from Gotham next week on the Kevin and Bean
Gotham
show.
Gotham has been so good lately.
And one of our all-time favorites, the great Jeff Garlin, returns from the Goldbergs next week. That's all coming up here in the days to come on K-Rock. First, I'm glad you're in here, Ralph, because it's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Nope.
And it's a fan favorite. The kids love it.
Everybody loves it.
Everyone does not like it.
Yeah.
They really do.
If you say it enough, people start believing it.
No, people come in and say, I'm with you. Why do they keep doing that? I'm like, I don't know.
The reason, thank you for bringing that up. The reason we keep doing it is because we see stories constantly in the news that involve quirky and crazy things that animals do. And we like to get experts on the phone associated with the story to tell us about what happened.
You can't even tell it to yourself without laughing. Because you know what dumb it is.
What is on the wheel this week, Allie?
All right, we've got Patch, the one-eyed horse that's racing in the Kentucky Derby.
Now, let me stop you right there.
Okay.
That's a perfect example of a story that a lot of people might miss that sounds incredibly inspirational. Wouldn't you think that it would be difficult to be a professional racehorse at the level of the Kentucky Derby and only have one eye?
Don't they usually wear blinders anyway, so they just look straight
advantage.
Ahead?
He has an advantage being blind to one eye.
That's what I would think.
The type of thing we would find out if we got
it. Radio, talking to a horse with one eye.
Sure would. You ain't wrong. All right, next on that, the board, then. The CIA cats spying on Russia.
There's a board, too, as well as a wheel.
Wheel.
We have stuff on the board and on the wheel.
Well, the wheel is connected to a board.
Oh,
thank you for mentioning.
All right.
Next on the wheel, the big rat with the smaller head surgically attached to it. It's a rat with an extra head on his back.
Two-headed rat. Now, I have a lot of questions for what that's like. Okay.
Female dragonflies that fake sudden death to avoid male advances.
Oh.
Same.
That sounds tragic.
Right? All right. Next up, the
They're not really dying, Bean. They're faking their death. It's not tragic.
No, he thinks it's tragic because of the dudes.
Oh, I see.
They're like, oh, no, we can't get with them. The drug-addicted monkey deported from Kuwait.
Oh, see, now I don't know anything about that story.
I don't either.
That would be fascinating to hear about that.
And last on the wheel, the
Don't say it.
No, Piggy Smalls is off the wheel. Okay. And I think it's best because it hurt me. The Saskatchewan cattle herding beaver. It's a beaver from Canada. It's a cattle herder. That's amazing.
Well, now I don't know who to root for, but let's spin the wheel, shall we?
It's time for the Wheel of Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty.
Spin the wheel or the board or whatever you got there, and let's find out what it's going to land on.
All right, come on, cattle herding beaver. Oh, the female dragonflies that fake sudden death to avoid male advances.
Yay!
All right, look, I know that nature is crazy, and a lot of animals out there just have to do what they can do to get by, but this is a story out of Switzerland, the University of Zurich in Switzerland. Rasim Khalifa has been studying dragonflies for more than 10 years, by the way. She recently witnessed a behavior for the first time. The Moreland Hawker dragonfly crash-dived to the ground while being pursued by a horny male dragonfly.
Oh, my gosh.
Then she lay motionless on her back, and I guess the thought is what? That he thinks she's dead or something?
Yeah, so he'll move on?
So he flies away, and then boom, she's up and she's out.
Oh, my goodness.
When the coast is clear, she's gone. So that is, the researcher says she was very surprised. She'd been 10 years studying dragonflies, had never seen this before. Now, do we have her on the phone? It doesn't say here, but I'm hoping we
have. I would assume so.
Dr. Khalifa from the University of Zurich in Switzerland is on the line. Are you there?
Hello?
Yes, is this Rasim Khalifa?
No!
It's not?
Oh, you're not? I thought you were the dragonfly expert to tell us about this.
No, I'm a dragonfly.
Oh, you're the actual dragonfly.
Yes.
How about that?
So are you the lady dragonfly?
No, I'm a handsome male dragonfly.
Oh,
okay.
My name is Jean.
Okay, I don't
Jean
like...
the dragonfly.
I'm not sure I approve of where this is headed already.
How can I help you?
Well, we're calling about this story that we saw that said that it's hard out there for a pimp, apparently. Apparently the ladies have figured out a way to deceive you so that you don't think that they're interested in you.
What? I've never heard of such a thing.
Uh-huh. What?
Because the ladies love me. And, oh, there's one now. Hello, my lovely lady. You're pretty. Oh, I think she's dead.
Oh, did she fall out of the sky and hit the ground?
She fell right out of the sky. Well, there's another one. Hello there. Can I show you my pictures of corn? Oh, that's odd. Seems like she died right in the middle of the air there.
Well, I would think that would be very upsetting for you to see all this suicide happening.
Well, luckily, there's lots of other ladies. Lovely lady friends for me to be with my lovely ladies.
Right?
Hello, my lovely lady dragonfly. Would you like to hear the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald played on my wings?
Oh, Jean.
Seems like she died as well.
This is rough.
You're not having very good luck with the women.
I've never been with one, but I hope to sometime in the future.
Well, it doesn't sound
Hello,
like it.
My lovely lady. Would you like to go over to this pancake with me and have a bite to eat? Maybe some chocolate milk. I just
Oh, another one?
Wow.
Well, a lot of sick women in this... this part of the swamp.
It does sound like it's on them. It's not you. I think you're doing everything right,
Jean. Switch up the approach, do you think?
What? Ladies love me.
I don't.
Hey, mind if I take a picture of the back of you, lovely lady dragonfly? I just want to take a...
another one.
That's so strange.
It is tough out there.
It really is.
Oh, why can't we have his mother on our show?
Hey, Ralph.
Right? Every time we play Dave Grohl, I say, you know what? We can never get Dave Grohl's mother on the show.
Yeah, you say it every time.
I would love to talk to her and find out what it was like to raise a rock star.
Virginia's on her way.
Why does no one ever take the point of view of the mother of these rock stars?
She's going to be here in like 15 minutes,
and tell us what their experience was like raising these amazing kids into these icons of people worship. What were they like when they were kids? I want to know.
Next half hour on the Kevin DeBean Show, Virginia Grohl will be here talking about her new book, From the Cradle to the Stage.
Let me tell you what, that's legendary, my boy.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Hey, not only is Dave Grohl's mom, Virginia, who's written a wonderful book, coming in to join us, we are going to give away some Weenie Roast tickets right now. The sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017 is happening 2 weeks from Saturday at the StubHub Center. We're going to play a game, and this time, Allie McKay, we're looking for what? What kinds of Weenie Roast fans are we looking for this time?
We need Incubus fans, and we need 311 fans. 311 fans and Incubus fans. It's great if you love Lord. It's great if you love Paramore. We don't want to talk to you today.
Wow. Okay.
311 fans and Incubus fans.
All right. 1-800-520-1067 and give you a chance to play to win your Weenie Rose tickets coming up right after the top of the hour. First, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
Big day for trailers. A lot of trailers dropping that everyone's talking about. First off is The Dark Tower, which has been a much-anticipated film. It's set a very an interesting path to the big screen. Now it's finally, the trailer for it has finally dropped. And I'll tell you, this is the Idris Elba movie we've all been waiting for. If you're a fan like I am, you've been waiting for us to see him kick some ass on the big screen. And he certainly does it as the gunslinger in this film. He's got Matthew McConaughey as the man in black that they go up against each other. They're fighting for the universe, that's all.
Hmm.
Young Tom Taylor's there as well. They have to protect the Dark Tower so that both the mid-world and our world don't come crashing down around us.
I'd like to see his Dark Tower.
How dare you, madam! That's coming out in August. The trailer, you can go to thedarktrailer.com, I think it is. It's all over the internet. You can find it. But you should watch it. It's amazing. Coming in August. And then we also have the Defenders trailer drop today, which is Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, and Iron Fist all teaming up to save New York.
Those are all the Marvel Netflix shows, right?
Yes.
Okay, I got you. I'm down.
You're not down.
I am down.
Did you not, before we just crack these mics open, say, what's Defenders?
No idea. But now it makes sense, now that you've described it. I got you.
They're like the Avengers, only they're the gritty, underbelly New York superheroes from the Marvel Universe.
I like it.
And so that's the thing we need, right?
That just dropped today as well, so you can find that online. So it's very exciting times we live in. Not to mention, the promoters of the doomed Fry Festival are back in the news.
Fire Festival.
I'm sorry, Fire Festival. Back in the news with a very interesting question to those who bought tickets for the canceled event. Do you want a refund or would you like VIP tickets to next year's Fire Festival?
No.
Yeah, you get a choice. You get your choice.
You know what?
Sure, we could give you a refund, but how about VIP access next year?
They're going to be in jail next year at this time. Nope. There's not going to be a festival.
It's going to be amazing.
This is Darwinism.
Off the
That's
hook.
That's all this is. Because if these idiots pick, I'll take VIP.
VIP.
Good luck.
Come on.
No.
Hi, this is David Hasselhoff. Listen, I wanted to figure out how to get tickets if I get down there.
Yeah, The Hoff will be there.
I don't, I'd be stunned if the Bahamas allows them to try to run this scam again next year.
Well, no, they're going to do it in the United States next year.
Oh,
they've announced a United States beach access location for next year's Fire Festival. They're not going to try to do it abroad.
Okay.
VIP!
Well, good luck with that.
VIP! Don't you want to rub shoulders with Bella Thorne in the VIP tent?
Not even a little bit.
I'd like to rub something with Bella Thorne, right?
What?
I don't know. How hearty handshake, perhaps?
Yeah.
Palms?
That'd be sweet.
I think so. And more music news. The Eagles have sued A hotel in Baja, Mexico that calls itself the Hotel California.
Yay!
Really?
Eagles are suing Hotel California in Baja, Mexico.
Now, do they own that name, that trademark?
We don't know. This is the interesting part. Yeah, this might actually go to trial because the Eagles are claiming that it's trademark infringement, but the hotel is saying you would have that if you tried to name a song or an album but we're an actual hotel. And the hotel was originally called the Hotel California in 1950.
Oh, come on.
Now, the name has changed with various owners, but the current owners are going back to the original name of the Hotel California.
What is their checkout policy?
I heard you can check out anytime
you
want. Okay.
All right, then.
But here's the rub. Here's the twist.
Yeah.
You can never leave.
Yay!
This was a success.
Thank you.
Eagles are also claiming the current owners are advertising that the hotel was the inspiration for the song. Which is not true, say the Eagles. I don't believe there was a real Hotel California.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I believe it's a metaphor for California in general.
Yeah,
I thought it was
so.
Always a mental institution in Calabasas. Camarillo.
What?
In Camarillo. Yeah, that's what everybody thought Hotel California was.
Everybody?
Donald Trump? Ask anybody.
All the people are saying?
All the people are saying.
Because I've never heard that once,
really?
Ever not.
A mental institution in Camarillo.
Never.
Really?
Really.
Sure.
Never heard it. Bean?
No, I'm with Ralph. I heard the same story he heard, which is that it was a metaphor about society. And
listen, give us a call right now. 1-800-520.
No, we're not taking any calls.
Okay. And the picture on the album cover was a hotel somewhere in Central California, right? Like up in Santa Barbara or something like that, right?
Yes.
But that wasn't a Hotel California either. That was
maybe
just
it was just
lobby.
A Ventura County thing, like we thought.
Maybe.
That,
yeah, so the cool. Eagles, they would demand the name be changed to something else, and they want a whole lot of money in damages as well because the Eagles are all very poor, you know. They only charge $9,000 a ticket on tour or whatever. So
I don't think they have a case, Ralph, on this one.
We shall see.
I feel like it's a bad look regardless on the Eagles.
Yeah, let it go. Yeah.
I mean, because...
What's that hotel hurting you, really?
Yeah.
Right. Because Kendrick Lamar has an album called Damn, You Can't Have Any Business named Damn. You know, he owns the word Damn because he named an album that? I don't think it works like that.
Yeah. I think that's a bad example, but I see what you're saying. I see what you're going for.
Good.
Really, because damn is a word existed before the album came out.
It wasn't great.
No. But still, Bean, nice try. We're with you. We're on your side.
I think I'm with you, too.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Greg Gumbel, 71. Actor Bobby Cannavale is 47. Dule Hill is 42. Christina Hendricks, 42 as well. Designer, the rapper Designer.
Panda
is 20 years old today. Hey, I want to remind folks, Friday night, 10 p.m., once again at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage with Hollywood Babylon. Come join us. We have a really good time, and I think you will, too. Go to improv.com to get your tickets.
I hate it.
For Hollywood Babylon.
I would not be happy.
Friday night at 10 p.m., me and Kevin Smith. You going to be there, Donald? Oh, thought maybe we had one more.
Nope.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dave Grohl's mom, Virginia, joins us in studio coming up next here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But first, let's take care of some business. We got two pairs of tickets to give away for the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta 2017. One hour from right now, like we do every morning at 9 a.m. And one right now at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to play the title fight.
Presenting Kevin and Bean's title fight. Two people enter the ring. Only one leaves with the tickets. Let's get ready to go to a concert.
All right. We advertised for Incubus fans and 311 fans, and I think we are going to choose up first Samantha. She is in Woodland Hills. She identifies as an Incubus fan. Samantha, how are you?
Hi, how are you guys?
What do you love about those boys?
Oh, Brandon.
His abs.
Oh. Right.
Her husband.
No shirt.
The way he paints, and you're like, that's a painting of me.
No, I'm already married. It's okay.
But the music, too, though, right?
He glistens when he sweats.
Okay. All right.
It just smells like dandelions.
Okay. I should have asked. I should not have opened this box to all of you.
Right,
all right. Totally.
We're playing Title Fight. You're going to be playing up against John, who is a 311 fan. So you're going to have Incubus-centered questions. In other words, this is the game where your partner is going to be describing for you the title, in this case, of Incubus songs. You are going to have to just come up with what Incubus song your person is trying to get you to say. So we're going to give you the opportunity to choose your partner, but the downside of that is we're going to also make you go first. So who do you think you want to play with? Is it Dave, the King of Mexico, who is terrible and never wins?
I won last time.
I want Allie.
Okay. You want Allie McKay, which I think is a very good
I hope choice. You lose.
All right, so there's 45 seconds on the clock. If you find yourself flustered or lost, Samantha, you have no idea what she's getting at, don't forget, you can always pass and then come back to it at the end if you still have
or
some
hang
time.
On.
Okay.
All right. So 45 seconds on the clock. You are an Incubus fan. She's going to be trying to get you to do Incubus titles. Allie, are you ready?
I'm ready.
Let's play Title Fight.
Okay. When something bad is about to happen, you hear this.
It's a warning. Telling,
yes. Okay. Dogs love to do this in dirt.
Dig.
Yes. The opposite of hate is...
love.
And love...
Of hurt.
Yes. When you get in a car, you...
Drive.
Yes. When you send a postcard when you're out of the country, you write...
wish you were here.
Yes!
Ladies and gentlemen. Wow. The ladies brought it.
I got to give it up to Samantha. That was
yes,
good.
Yes, Samantha rules. I'm not going to lie.
That was all five.
I mean,
all
right. Question, Allie's hints were terrible, but, you know.
Allie did a great job. Samantha did a great job.
Right here, Dave.
All right, Samantha, you hold on.
You ready for a real pro?
Let's meet your competition. This is going to be John. He's in L.A. He's excited about coming to the sold-out Weenie Roast because he loves 311. Hey, John.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
How big a 311 fan are you? Have you ever been on one of their 311 cruises?
I've been on two of the cruises. They're just soundtrack to my life pretty much since I was about, 20?
Have you smoked with them yet?
Smoked?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, it's no. Actually, let's just say no.
Okay. Let's just say no.
All right. Well, you sound like the perfect candidate as a 311 fan. Same rules apply. 45 seconds on the clock. Unfortunately, you do have a ding against you because Dave is going to be your partner.
Oh, come on.
But he's going to be trying.
I got complete faith. This is
word, John. Let's do this.
All right. So you're going to be looking for 311 titles. Again, the advice is if you get stuck, don't forget you got some time at the end. Maybe you can come back and pick one up. But you got a lot of competition here because, as you heard, Samantha got all five. So let's see how
I wasn't listening.
You got, Ben, you both ready to play?
Sure.
Yes,
let's do it.
All right. This is a color.
Amber.
Yep. It's not up.
Down.
Yep. All right. This is an emotion, and it's not hate. It's
love.
Yeah. And people write these. 311 writes these. 311 writes these. They are called.
John
yeah.
Jeff.
Wow.
Yeah. Come on. It's you know what do you listen to on the radio?
Music.
Come on, John. What would you call?
Go on.
All right. These are in a blender. What do you do with in a blender? That one. But
John,
love song is
what he
you
was
listen to
love
songs
song.
On
come on, man.
The radio.
Love
well,
song.
I mean, it is a legitimate
that's
and a real.
Cure.
Yes, it is a cure song. Yes, but
311 song.
He was calling you out.
Yeah,
John, I'm sorry you didn't win. But
it's a cure song.
But we thank you for playing. Let's go back to Samantha Woodland Hills, who is going to be seeing Incubus at the K-Rock Weenie Roast TPS the 2017. Samantha.
Hell yeah, tell me I won again.
You won.
You won.
You won again.
Incubus and Lord, Imagine Dragons, Cage the Elephant, 311, Paramore, Lana Del Rey, Dream Car, and all the rest because you were smart enough to pick Allie as your partner. Thanks for playing the title fight.
Thanks for playing Kevin and Bean's title fight.
Oh, yeah! Allie, am I lying if I say we have been looking forward to this since the minute we heard this book was coming out?
About a month ago when we found out we could have Virginia, it became the Virginia Countdown.
It became our obsession.
Yeah.
The book is available at all retailers now and online. It's called From Cradle to Stage, Stories from the Mothers Who Rocked and Raised Rockstars. She is Virginia Grohl, or as we know her, Dave Grohl's mom. Welcome to K-Rock, Virginia.
Thank
How are you?
Thank you so much. I'm great. Thank you.
We're so honored to have you here, and especially because, you know, Dave has been coming on this show, the Kevin and Bean Show, for well over 20 years now.
That's what he tells me.
He might be our favorite guest of all time. And I think there can't be any higher praise for a mother to hear that your son is loved everywhere he goes. And I'm sure you never get tired of hearing people talk about what a nice young man Dave is.
I don't. And I just know how right they are. He's just more fun to be around than anybody, isn't he?
He really is. I mean, and you talk about, you know, this book is so wonderful, and we'll get into some of the stories that you learn from other moms who raised successful musicians. But the stories that you tell just about Dave growing up and starting to fall in love with music and playing in the various bands throughout the years, it doesn't seem like the success has changed him at all, and it seems like his attitude is always so positive. And, of course, he's human, so that can't be true. But what do you think the secret is to how he enjoys his life so much?
Well, I think it's pretty basic, and that's that he set out just to fill his life with music. He just loves music. So mm-hmm. when he says he gets to go to the office every day, and it's a studio, and he gets to... Nobody works harder than these guys, that's for sure. It's not like it's all a good time, but they just love that they're surrounded by music and they're creating it and working on it and then sharing it. And I think that's pretty great. That's a nice life.
Yeah, I mean, they do always say if you can find a way to make your passion into your work, it'll never feel like you have to work mm-hmm. because you can enjoy yourself every day.
Not everybody does that.
Did you see a thread with the moms that you talked to? In this book, by the way, you interview Michael Stipe's mom and Miranda Lambert's mom, Kelly Clarkson, Dr. Dre, the Beastie Boys' Mike D, Rush's Geddy Lee. The list goes on and on and on. Did you come to any conclusions about those families that produced those kinds of musicians?
Well, there was no way to say, oh, now I can tell which family the next rock star is going to come from, because you can't really tell from the backgrounds or from the places, from anything except the habits of the kids. And the facts came together as I didn't do research, and I, you know, nothing's scientific here, but the ones I met and the ones I talked to, all pretty much fell into line, and that was that at between the ages of 12 and 13, they declared that that's what it was going to be. It was music. It was all about music. It would be music forever. Just stay out of the way.
And as a mother, how do you separate that, okay, that's their passion, let them do it, versus the, oh, but they should have something to fall back on? How do you
separate
the
two? Well, we all
did
it differently. Yeah. And we had different approaches, and different mothers gave in at different times.
Right.
But I must say that's what happened ultimately. Mm-hmm. It was a stronger force than we were. And so... we all had different battles with it. Some said you've got to have something to fall back on, mm-hmm. Routine, and that was resisted.
Sure.
And it most of them had also had, you know, we had seen their talent. They all picked up their instruments and instantly played them.
Yeah.
So they weren't typical.
Innate.
It wasn't typical. I think I might like to sit down with the guitar a little bit. It was an urgent thing.
Yeah. An immediate talent. I mean, that's one of the things that surprised me about some of the people that I didn't know the backstory of, like Kelly Clarkson, hearing how musically gifted she was as a toddler. Geddy Lee being able to play piano by ear at almost the first time he ever sat down in front of a piano.
Yes, just listening to it.
Yeah, it's shocking how talented these people were. And was it particularly tough for you, Virginia, because as somebody who values education so much as a public school teacher for all those years and years and years, when your son comes to you and says he wants to drop out of school, it must have taken everything in you to accept that and support that.
Well, the facts are a little bit different. He was dropping out of the school where I was teaching. We all went to school every day in our little blue Ford Fiesta, and my daughter and son and I were, and it was the smallest high school in the county at the time. And so we were all right down the hall from each other. So I saw him many times during the day. I knew all his teachers. I knew what was going on a daily basis. And I had also known that there were 10 years behind him of going to school every day and not enjoying it and not thriving. Mm-hmm. And I knew how smart he was, how full of energy and joy and creativity he was, and I kept waiting for the schools to see that. And so
It just wasn't a good fit for him.
It wasn't anywhere close to a good fit. And I stopped blaming him and just kept saying the school should maybe come up with something here. Or why? And it was a good school system. And that it was also failing him. And that's how I felt. I really feel like the schools are failing a lot of these budding musicians and all kinds of other kids who have something that isn't just going right down the mainstream norm.
Right. Not everybody needs to get A's and then get into a good college to make a successful or a happy life.
I thought at that point when he said, you know, I want to go to Europe with Scream, I realized he'd be touring Europe at 17, and, you know, next week he'd be in Paris playing a show. And I thought, okay, and I'll be here in my classroom reading T.S. Eliot again for the 100th time. And
so who wins? Who wins
exactly.
In that scenario, right?
Save room on that bus for me.
Well, you made the right call. Virginia Grohl is our guest here at the Kevin Bean Show. Again, the book is called From Cradle to Stage, Stories from the Mothers Who Rocked and Raised Rock Stars. You get a chance to see Virginia and Dave in conversation. This is going to be tomorrow night at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove. Now, the way this works, this is a wristbanded event. Wristbands be distributed starting tomorrow morning at 9 with the purchase of a pre-signed copy of From Cradle to Stage. So you get Virginia's autograph, and then you get to be in the room at the Barnes & Noble when she and Dave talk about the book and the life that they have shared together. We got many more questions for you, Virginia. Please stick around. We'll be right back on K-Rock.
All right.
She is not only Dave Grohl's mom, she is now a best-selling author. The book is called From Cradle to Stage, Stories from the Mothers Who Rocked and Raised Rock Stars. You wrote every word of this yourself, Virginia?
Indeed, I did.
3 years of your life doing this book?
3 great years. It was a lot of fun doing it.
And you got a lot of new friends. We're going to be talking about the moms of some of the people you met, like Geddy Lee's mom and Dr. Dre's mom and Randall Everett's mom. I wanted to ask you one quick question before we have to play a song, and that is, you told a story in the book that I had not heard before that I thought was so amazing. Dave's on tour in Australia with Foo Fighters.
Yes.
But there's something going on back at home that he also wants to attend. What happened?
The annual daddy-daughter dance at his daughter's school. And that's no excuses. That's a must-attend situation. So he ran off the stage in, I think he was in Perth, and got on a flight, commercial flight, put a blanket over his head and went to sleep for 14 hours or whatever
is,
if you can sleep on a plane for four, and came back and put on his jacket, took one girl on each arm, went off to the dance. They danced with both of his girls, took them home, kissed them goodnight, and ran back to the airport.
Aww.
Got on a plane, went back to Australia just in time to get on stage
right back for the next show.
Mm-hmm. Didn't
miss a beat.
Is that unbelievable? As a mom, though, do you look at the kind of man who would make that sacrifice for his family?
It still makes me so tired just thinking about it.
But I would think your heart would just swell when you hear that's the kind of commitment a guy would have to his family, right? It's a beautiful story. Any fan of Dave Grohl will want to read this book, and we have so much more to learn about it. Stories from the Mothers Who Rocked and Raised Rock Stars. Virginia Grohl is our guest. We'll talk more right after some Fall Out Boy here on the World Famous K-Rock. I'm not going to lie. Virginia Grohl in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, headbanging to Fall Out Boy here on K-Rock this morning. That actually gives me a great opportunity, Virginia. You and the other mothers of famous and successful musicians that you talk to in your new book, at some point, was there any kind of a generation gap where you realized, hey, I support you, Dave, I love you, Dave Grohl, but I hate this music that you're playing all the time around the house or the band that you're in? When he started out as a punk rocker, were you down with that?
Well, I've got to admit, I didn't understand all of it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I had no idea what they were saying. I didn't understand one. I guess they had lyrics. I don't know. Mainly, they screamed a lot. But and this was what Mike D's mother said, too. We recognize the energy, and we recognize the transfer of the energy from the band to the audience and back and forth and that kind of thing going on. So we saw that thing happening.
The connection was
there,
right.
Yes, yes. And that's very exciting when you see that transfer going on from, those were, you know, those days, those little punk bands, little tiny stages and then big crowded spaces that the tiny stage was in. And so, and besides that, the band Scream, I don't know if you know anything about them.
Yes.
But they go way, way back and they're still playing. I saw saw one of their shows about a year ago. But they were...
And you're still friends with all of
yes,
Dave's old bandmates.
And I knew them then.
Right.
And so I had to trust in them that when he was going off with them, everything would be okay.
The disconnect for me of all the moms you talk to in the book, and again, it's a wonderful book called From Cradle to Stage, available wherever books are sold, was what it was like for Dr. Dre's mom, who was, you know, a very classy, sophisticated, smart lady.
Yes.
And then the shock that must have happened when she started hearing those early NWA records, thinking, where did this come from?
She had the hardest time, I think, because it was shocking. But she says this, when she then really looked at it, she realized it's what we've been going through. She understood it was rather more graphically than she would have put it, but she got it.
Yeah, and I think it was Chuck D who said, remember back in the day that rap music is the CNN of the streets, and that's what NWA was all about back then.
Yes.
And she realized that her son was part of a band that was speaking the truth at that time.
Yes.
What did you think of Nirvana when Dave made the transition and switched to that band? Of course, you know, now Nirvana is, you know, it's a magic word when you hear it, but back then it was just another band your son was in. Did you like them right away when you met Kurt and Chris? Did you immediately bond with them?
Well, I didn't meet them for a while because, you know, they were in Seattle. And I was in Virginia teaching. And so he got stranded on the West Coast when Scream couldn't continue. And Nirvana auditioned him. And then it happened so fast. So by the time I met them, they were, the first time I met them was when they came to New York to meet with record companies. So they already were known. I think the first I've heard Nevermind over the phone for
not
the
ideal.
First time. And I thought, wow, this is, I mean, you know, the first time you hear it, it's...
Oh, it's catchy within seconds.
And it's very different. And
yeah.
It's, and so I didn't say, oh, I know this is the way of the future.
but you liked it.
But I did like it.
Yeah.
And I was so relieved that he'd found a band to, you know, to be with. And then, as I said, it just happened so fast.
You were there in the audience the night Nirvana debuted on Saturday Night Live. It was one of the great nights of your life.
Yes, indeed it was. And that whole weekend of, you know, MTV and Saturday Night Live and the whole New York thing. And which I shared with Kurt's mother, and I talk about that in the book, too. Mm-hmm. And it was her first trip to New York. Mm. So for her, it was really special.
And it was getting to know her and sharing experiences of raising your respective sons that kind of gave you the idea for this book that, hey, it might be fun to talk to more moms out there.
No, that was way back. And I didn't have this idea until about 3 or 4 years ago, mm-hmm. And it was another person. It was Jill Berliner, who was David's attorney since Nirvana. Mm-hmm. And she and I sit together backstage a lot and side of the stage. And we were at the New Orleans Jazz Festival, and I said, I wish I could meet the other mothers. I almost never see any. And she said, why don't you go find them? You should write a book. And honestly, that was it. It was that simple. And
I love that you're backstage at Foo Fighters and you're like, I just wish there were more moms. That's fantastic.
I know. And I'm sure all the rock stars are thinking the same thing.
You talked to Michael Stipe's mom, Adam Levine's, Amy Winehouse, which is a very tough chapter to read. And I'm sure that was a difficult conversation or two that you had there as well. Miranda Lambert, Kelly Clarkson, Dr. Dre, Geddy Lee, Mike D, so many more in this book. I love one of the things. I know we're almost out of time here, Virginia, but I love one of the things that you talked about, which is you knew Dave had found his love and that he was always going to be a musician. That was his passion. Of course, you never expected that he would become as successful or as famous as he was, but that really wasn't the point. That's not why you loved that he did it, right? Was that it
never.
That he was going to be a star.
I think about that now. I think I hear kids saying, I want to be a rock star or I want to be rich and famous. And those words were never part of the discussion. And it never occurred to any of us that there'd be any money involved or fame or any of the trappings that it was just he wanted to play music for a long time.
Well, as I said, when you sat down, no one loves Dave Grohl more than the people in this room and the people in this radio station. He has been a wonderful friend to us for all these years. And you raised yourself a good, good boy. And I understand his kids are just as great as he is. So
it's all
true. As a mom and as a grandma, you can be very, very proud. And the book is wonderful, you guys. You definitely need to check it out. Buy it online right now through Amazon or get to a bookstore. And if you want to meet Virginia and Dave, they're going to be in conversation tomorrow night at the Barnes & Noble at the Grove. Again, it's a wristband event. You can buy your wristband starting at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning with the pre-signed copy of From Cradle to a Stage. And that way you can be the audience for the event tomorrow night. Sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you so much for coming in. So nice to meet you.
Thank you very much. I
enjoyed
it.
Continued success, Virginia. Bye bye.
Bye.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. World famous K Rock. K Rock.
Yeah, it is. And I know you think, oh, they already gave away the Weenie Roast tickets. I'm screwed. Wrong. We got more you can win to the sold out K Rock Weenie Roast Fiesta 2017 coming up in about 5 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. If you want to join us on Saturday, May 20th at StubHub Center, details at krock.com. Hey, Ralph Kramer.
It's the.
The amazing weenie roast, yay, fiesta.
I apologize, right. Rodney. I keep saying that wrong. Thank you.
Correct. Hey, you know, we've got Cinco de Mayo coming up this week.
Friday morning, yeah.
Friday, Cinco de Mayo. Friday night, what are you doing to celebrate? Here's a great idea. Go see two of the most charming, fun Mexican entertainers that the Improv has to offer there on Improv on Melrose.
Oh, is Al Madrigal going to be there?
Friday Gabriel night, Iglesias? 10 p.m. No?
Fluffy? Is it Gabriel Iglesias? Oh, you said that already.
Yeah, I did, just like a second prior.
Ralph Garmendez and Kevin Smith. Yes.
What?
That was...
Hollywood Babylon, Friday night, 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose. We're going to have a pretty good time. I might be drinking because it's Cinco de Mayo. I might have a cocktail.
No.
Kevin might smoke out a little bit. We're going to have a blast. Go to improv.com to get your tickets for that particular
show. Oh, my
gosh.
No.
Yeah. It's
going to
be good. It's going to be good. Let's take a look at the showbiz news. Can I get my camera over here, Chip? Can I get that working?
Boy. Wow, it's like Kevin's here.
Yeah. It's remarkable. It's really carrying on tradition. You know, Jimmy Kimmel is taking some time off because he's got paternity leave with his new baby, Billy, and his wife, and they're all at home taking care of Billy. That means some of Jimmy's pals are filling in for him on his late-night show. Will Arnett was hosting last night.
I love him.
I love Will, too. He is a very funny, charming man, and he's also the producer of the rebooted Gong Show.
Yeah.
And we were talking earlier this week about the fact that the host is going to be a British comedian named Tommy Maitland, who is an old-timey British comedian who's coming over to host that show. And in reality, it's actually Mike Myers playing a role.
What?
But they're not acknowledging that. You won't see it anywhere ever in connection with this project. They are going full method with it, and he is just presenting himself as this character. So he appeared on the show last night, on the Kimmel Show last night, for his first appearance in America to talk about being on the show. And I gotta tell you, I am very encouraged by what I saw. The character is very funny.
Oh, good.
It's an old school British comedian, but he is also like constantly insulting people.
Nice.
Like, he called Will Arnett a cross between George Hamilton and a Crest White Strip, which was funny. And he also took him to task for his work as Lego Batman. Here's that.
Oh, yes, and all that money you have.
Yeah.
And you play a piece of plastic, don't you? Lego Batman.
Well, yes. Yes, Lego Batman, yeah. I do. Yeah. It's a fun toy people love. And
yes, you make millions and millions of dollars off of it, don't you?
Sure, I mean, you know.
Did you start with Lego Shakespeare first? Lego Long Day's Jenny and Tonight.
Okay, well. Trashy his career. I think we're going to have fun with that character. Tommy Maitland. Maybe we can get him on the show.
I would enjoy that very much.
That would be funny. Remember once we talked to, it was Michael McKean who came on, but he would only do the interview as David St. Hubbins from Spinal Tap.
Come on.
It was so much fun.
It was great.
And we had Jiminy Glick also on once, where Martin Short would only do the interview as Jiminy Glick.
I love it.
I love when people do that, when they commit and are able to improvise. Yeah, and they can really bring it, you know.
My one of my favorite in that almost in that category was when we had Larry Bud Melman on. Were you here for that, Ralph?
No,
because he, of course,
you just say almost in that category.
Almost in that category, in that he's an actor playing a character, and he did the interview in character.
But he wasn't.
That was him.
But he was. No, him. He was an actor.
He was an actor, but he wasn't a character. No. He was an idiot.
Well,
and so he wasn't doing the character.
He was doing
he
the
was
character.
Just being him. No, that's him. He was being who he is.
Here's what the point. This is what I'm telling you.
No,
about
you're
that.
Not telling me anything.
What? We did the interview, and we were sent in advance the questions that we had to ask him in order, and he gave
his because he's an idiot.
He can't improv. He was like brain damaged.
But he was playing a character.
Oh, my God. He was. That Calvert DeForest and Larry Bud Melman, we're the same guy.
Yes, just like Mike Myers and Tommy Maitland are the same guy. But what is a character? What is a real person?
No,
I'm telling you, he was playing a character.
He wasn't playing a character. I'm telling you, he wasn't.
Let me tell you what, that's legendary, my boy.
Thank you, JD. He would know.
Oh, my God. You are on a roll today. You're out of control.
Why do some people tune out?
Remember when I told Jiminy Glick that he was a big inspiration to me? Uh-huh. I said, you know, as an entertainment journalist, just like you, Jiminy, you're a big inspiration. I followed your career for many years, and it's such a pleasure to finally have an opportunity to express those feelings to you in person.
Well, that's very nice, Ralph. It's wonderful to hear your story. I wonder if anyone else cared.
That was his response.
Jiminy for the win!
Yeah, that was like a badge of honor. It's like, I got slammed by Jiminy Glick. It made me happy for about 6 months.
I think if you check the tape, you'll realize how wrong you are. And I think you'll apologize.
Oh, he's funny.
He's the best. Hey, I want to give you a heads up. There's some trailers you should check out. Just dropped this morning online. First of all, check out the Defenders trailer for Netflix. They are taking the Marvel heroes from their four very popular shows and putting them together, a la the Avengers. You get Iron Fist, the brand new one, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Hero for Hire, and Daredevil finally teaming up to protect New York City. Looks amazing. Looks amazing. And then also, the Dark Tower trailer has dropped this morning. Mm-hmm. If you're a fan of the Stephen King novels, you, like me, have been waiting for this story finally to get on the big screen. It dropped this morning. Idris Elba just looks awesome as the gunslinger who's protecting the Dark Tower and all of us. And the Man in Black, of course, played by Matthew McConaughey. All right, all right, all right. So it looks amazing. I think you're really going to enjoy this
podcast. That is the coolest thing I think I've ever heard of in my life. I never thought of that in my life.
Good point, Peter Mark. He's amazing today, by the way.
Oh, he really is.
It's crazy.
Wow.
I'm going to insist that whatever he's doing today, he needs to do every day.
I had a lozenge, and it lingered.
He told me if I wanted one, here's what to expect. You wake up, but you're not really awake because you're just there in a cloud.
You'll see.
You're laying in a cloud.
Yeah.
He talks a lot for someone so high.
And he's raising a young child, which really makes me feel very secure.
And it sounds to me that process doesn't seem like a process just anybody can pick up and start doing.
You're right. That is true. But when you have a baby, it's good to be sort of out of things and foggy and in a cloud.
A little hazy.
Yeah,
sure.
That's the best way to protect your
children.
You
know what? That's an acceptable answer.
Thank you, Beer Mug. Today's celebrity birthdays, Greg Gumbel is 71 years old today. Bobby Cannavale turns 47. Dule Hill, 42. Christina Hendricks, 42 years old as well. And rapper Designer from
Panda Panda, Panda Panda, Panda Panda, Panda.
see why he's so successful. He's got mad flow.
He wrote that himself, by the way. Those lyrics. All of those lyrics are designers.
Designers 20 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Every morning at 9 here on the Kevin and Bean Show all week long, we are handing out tickets to you for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2017 coming up on Saturday, May 20th at StubHub. And Bruno Spunhold from San Pedro. Congratulations, Bruno. You just won your tickets. You'll be seeing Lord and Incubus, Imagine Dragons, Cage the Elephant, 311, Paramore, Lana Del Rey, Dream Car, and all the rest. Got another chance. What, huh?
Bean, the name again?
Isn't it Bruno Spunhole?
Wow.
What would you say? How would you say it?
Spunhole. I think you're right.
Well, thanks for sharing, Allie. Your chance to win every day at 9, noon, 3, and 6. Details at krock.com. It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:06. So we made the call, and I expected it was going to be the scientist who was studying dragonflies.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I think we all expected that.
And imagine my surprise when we actually ended up talking to one of the dragonflies.
That was crazy.
No way to predict something like that.
Can you imagine how tiny that cell phone must be?
Every week, I'm amazed by who picks up the phone on the other end. Every week. Hey, it's at 9:38 Wednesday morning. Ralph is here with our final look at the showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean Show today. What's going on?
I've got passes.
Wait, hold on. For what, though?
The premiere of King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Oh, the kids are okay with that?
Yeah, they love it.
Good. It's happening at the TCL Chinese Theater on May 8th. You must have seen the commercials by now. Charlie Hunnam is King Arthur. Jude Law is the bad king. Annabelle Wallace, I'm assuming she plays the lovely Guinevere.
She's in Peaky Blinders.
Arthur's beloved. It's in theaters everywhere May 12th, but they're going to have the premiere at the TCL Chinese Theater in Hollywood on May 8th, King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. We've got your passes if you want to go. First five callers right now at 1-800-520-1067. First five callers, we'll get a pair of passes to see King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. Yes, Camelot.
Brother. Wow. Yes. I don't need to see it now.
Brother. That was Richard Burton.
Yeah.
Who famously played King Arthur in the musical Camelot.
Yeah.
The rain must never fall till after sundown in Camelot. Camelot.
That sounds awful.
Come on, you're using Camelot?
A Camelot musical?
Oh, my God. Camelot is a musical.
Oh.
It's the musical.
Really? Cool.
You've never heard of the musical Camelot?
No.
Bean, have you heard of the musical Camelot?
I know every song on the soundtrack. This is a legendary classic movie I thought we all grew up with. Here in the lusty month of May.
The lusty month of May. Yes.
I hate this.
If ever I would leave you, it wouldn't be in springtime.
Do the most popular song.
That's one of them. That's one of them.
Yeah.
Most popular.
Give me another one. Maybe it'll come to me.
I wonder what the poor people do.
I wonder what the king is doing tonight.
Yeah, I wonder what the king is doing tonight.
This sounds awful.
I can't believe you don't know Camelot.
It's not. It's a great
I know Spamalot, and that is fantastic.
Spamalot is a spoof of Camelot.
Is it?
Oh, my goodness. Oh. The worst.
Ralph, I guess you don't know how to handle a woman.
Oh, that's right. That's another one. You'd like that.
Oh, God.
She's already making faces.
Getting worse. Yeah.
That was physically painful to watch. Like, my body was rejecting it while watching it.
Well, you're missing out because it's a good movie.
Speaking of music, do you suffer from restlessness, fatigue?
Mm-hmm.
Are you tense?
Yeah.
Do you have anxiety?
All the time.
Well, how about if I told you there is a song, a scientifically created song that will erase your anxiety. In 8 minutes, it will treat the most common mental illness in the United States. 40 million adults living with anxiety, 18% of the population. A musical trio called the Marconi Union. They are a band out of the UK. They have written a song that will reduce your blood pressure, lower your cortisol, lower your heart rate, will make you mentally happy.
That sounds like a miracle.
It is, my friends. And how much would you be willing to pay?
Well, if
but wait, there's more.
I feel like they're doing a service. It should be free.
It is free, actually.
Okay,
it is
all
free.
Right.
You want to hear a little bit of it?
Definitely.
It's a song called Weightless. Weightless by the Marconi Union is the name of the band.
All right.
And scientists have studied it. at Mind Lab International, which sounds effing shaky if you ask me. But Dr. David Lewis Hodgson of Mind Lab International says that people who listen to this song experienced a 65% reduction in anxiety.
Does it put them to sleep or something?
It can with some.
All right.
It can with some. They say sometimes it has been found in cases, especially with women, that they became drowsy. So, and they had problems with women listening to the song in their car.
Oh, my God.
They would become drowsy behind the wheel.
So turn it up, ladies.
Nervous about playing this on the air?
No, we won't play the whole thing. We'll just play a touch of it, just a all taste. Right. And you let me know how you feel, okay? Let's hear a little Weightless. Anxiety, just leave your body.
Well, just, it sounds like the...
It's every song I get a facial to.
Stop it.
Yeah.
It's magic.
That didn't come up.
It's magic. It
sounds like I'm at my chiropractor
hold
again.
On. Hold on, I'm trying to imagine Ellie getting a facial.
Hey!
We got about three more minutes.
Yep.
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm going to go get it. That's a keeper right there.
This song is tight.
Should we keep going?
Yep.
I mean, it doesn't do much.
Oh, it does so much.
I think that's the point.
Yes, carefully arranged harmonies and rhythms that will slow your heart rate.
I'm going to say, by the way, that I think New Age music is the worst of all music.
Stimulates the ear by presenting it with the constantly alternating sounds of high and low tone.
Has this
the complex structure of classical music?
Has this caused anyone to take his or her own life?
Just let it roll over you, man. Just let it wash over you.
There's still a minute and a half.
Oh my God!
I'm Ted Sigenbush. You're listening to The Coast.
It's the worst.
It's the best, you mean?
No, I mean it's the worst. It's terrible. It does nothing but sound bad.
Because you're balled up like a fist. That's why. There's no relaxing you.
You need a facial.
Right.
All right. I need that tape is what I need, Chip.
All right, Chip, that's enough.
I wish to complain in the strongest possible terms about the song which you have just broadcast.
I'm with that guy.
Hey, a great day for trailers. You got to check these out online if you haven't already. They both dropped this morning. First of all, Netflix dropped their Defenders TV series trailer. It is the gritty Marvel heroes from all the Netflix shows. You got Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage, Hero for Hire, all combined fighting evil together in New York City. Looks amazing! And the Dark Tower trailer has dropped today, which is just awesome. Idris Elba in the kick-ass movie we've all been waiting for him to star in. He protects us all by protecting the Dark Tower and taking on Matthew McConaughey, the man in black. All right, all right, all right. Looks amazing. This movie's coming out this summer, and the trailer is available now. So go find it online. You can go to thedarktowertrailer.com or anywhere good trailers can be found. So check that out for yourself. Also, we talked about the Eagles suing that Baja Mexico hotel for using the name Hotel California. Turns out there's more to the story.
Okay, good.
And we were originally led to believe.
And Ali made up a lot of backstory on where that song title came from.
I can't tell you. So many people also thought it was from the Camarillo State Mental Institution.
There's a lot of theories.
Sure.
Though. That was one of them.
But you all said you had never heard that, and that's
never
insane.
Heard the
You're the dumbest
one.
Person, well,
because,
and then you kicked
you
me
know
in
why?
My hoo-ha.
Because I listened to the guys who wrote the song talking about it instead of the people you sat next to in math class.
I don't listen to old people talking about their music.
Do you want that song back on? You sound a little anxious. I think you need some more Weightless just to relax you. Okay, it's an 11-room hotel in Baja, California. But here's the thing. Not only do they call themselves the Hotel California, but they have T-shirts printed up. They call it the Legendary Hotel California, and posters and other merchandise leading people to believe that this is the hotel that the song was based on.
Mm-hmm.
And they constantly pipe the song Hotel California and others' Eagle songs throughout the hotel's sound system.
Well, that's just a bad decision.
A little close for comfort.
So the Eagles believe that they're leading people to believe there's some association between the band and the hotel, as if it's some sort of official, licensee or something. And so they do not want them to use that song in their marketing of the hotel. Okay. So we'll see what happens. But they are suing for a lot of money and to make them stop doing it. So we will.
I feel like they have a little bit more of a case now that we know those additional details.
Take it easy.
One of these nights, Allie, I'm going to...
I can't tell you why, but...
You take it to the limit every time we get into this situation.
I'm just a desperado out here on my own. It's just what I do. I'm already gone, you guys. Let's wrap this up.
Bean's not playing at all, the way, which is very unlike him. I think Kevin Bean fell asleep because of that song being played. I think Weightless put him
out. Whoever Kevin is, he's so mad right now. He doesn't know why.
Dear celebrity birthdays, Greg Gumbel, 71 years old. Bobby Cannavale is 47. Dule Hill's 42, as is Christina Hendricks, the lovely and talented. And rapper-designer from the Panda song. He's 20 years old today.
Panda, 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 panda.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you so much, Ralph. Hey, on your drive home today, why not listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour, a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda Dealers, and I promise we won't be playing that song between 5 and 6 today. Tomorrow on the show, I think it's going to be good because Jim Rome's here because it's Thursday.
Yeah, I am.
The captain, Ryan Getzlaff, from your Anaheim Ducks, back on the show.
Go Ducks, Allie.
Painting it orange, right, Chip?
Right.
Go
Game
Ducks.
4 tonight.
Game 4 tonight. There's a watch party at Honda Center.
Go Ducks.
You want to watch the game with everybody there.
Go Ducks.
Beer Mug was recently on the red carpet for a little movie called Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Wow.
And I don't know, Mug's track record isn't great with getting the biggest stars, but we'll see who he came up with in interviews tomorrow.
We're going to hear a lot of this. Chris Pratt! Chris Pratt! Chris Pratt! Chris Pratt!
Possible. Chris Pratt! We anticipate the return of the monkey tomorrow, and if Kevin does return, as we hope, he will be telling us about his utter dissatisfaction in visiting the ice cream museum. He was really excited about the ice cream museum, but apparently did not pan out for him. And I don't see how. What's not to like about the ice cream museum, right?
Well, he found a lot of things not to like about it.
And, of course, we get closer and closer every day to this year's sold-out K-Rock Weenie Roastie Fiesta 2017. We've got two chances for you to win your tickets. That's all tomorrow morning right here on K-Rock.